be found in the book of 1 Kings, chapter number 17. The book of 1 Kings, chapter number 17. And I promise I'll have you out of here by midnight. Randy taught here last Wednesday night, and when he did, there was something that raised up out of the pages of the Bible as he began to teach. And I want to go over it a little bit tonight. I may touch on some of the stuff he touched on, but I want to give you what God has shown me for what he was teaching the other night. If you look in your Bible in 1 Kings chapter number 17, we'll begin reading in verse number 8. The Bible said, "And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee." So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman, was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, "Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink." And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, "Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand." And she said, "As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die." And Elijah said unto her, "Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth." And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she said, and she and he in her house, and did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. Let us pray tonight. Dear Father, I thank you, Lord, for this night. Lord, I thank you for your grace and mercy and truth. Lord, I pray, dear God, you'd have me to say what you won't say it, Lord. Lord, I trust in you, Lord, tonight. Lord, I have no ability in myself, Lord. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you use me as a mouthpiece. Lord, I thank you for your word. I'm glad tonight your word is truth, Lord. Your word sends help, Lord. I pray, Lord, you'd help somebody, one soul at least, here tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I want to take my text first tonight out of verse number 12. And let's read it again. It says, "She said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die." I want to preach on this thought tonight, at the bottom of the barrel. At the bottom of the barrel. You see, sometimes in your Christian life, we think we always should be up on the mountaintop. But I've learned in the Christian life, a lot of times we're down in the valley. We're down at the bottom of the barrel. You say, what's the bottom of the barrel? That's about as low as you can go. That's where you look at your gas gauge, and it's down below that quarter, and it's almost touching that E. Can I get a witness right there? That's almost at the bottom of the barrel. I remember my life growing up, and I remember God using my brother in my life to draw me to salvation. I remember coming up short many times in my life. And you know what I found out in my life? My life was at the bottom of the barrel. And I needed something higher than I was to get me from the bottom of the barrel to get me out of the barrel. Elijah found here in the widow woman, they find themselves in a place of not enough. That's where America finds her place tonight, is in a place of not enough. They got want of everything. And they tell the Lord, like the Laodicean church, they have need of nothing. That's where we find our churches tonight, and we find America as having need of nothing. You know why? Because God has blessed the nation, because our forefathers, as Brother Wayne has been teaching on, has went after God. They sought after God. They longed for God. They loved God. They wanted to do everything that was right that God had commanded them to do, and they founded our nation upon the statutes and the truths of the Word of God. And tonight we're falling so far away from it that it's embarrassing as a country and as a nation for where our forefathers have once founded us upon. Elijah and the widow woman find themselves at the bottom of the barrel. I wonder tonight, where do you find yourself? I found myself a lot of times just like this widow woman. I look into it and I say, Lord, it ought to be up here, but really it's way down here. And I find myself at the bottom of the barrel. We all know the story of Elijah. We know the story of 1 Kings chapter 17. We know where Elijah was. I heard one man, he summed it up this way. He said, here's what chapter 17 is in 1 Kings. He says it's dead ends. It's dryness. It's detours. And it's dried up brooks. And a lot of times in our life, we find ourselves in that situation. We find ourselves dried up. We find ourselves dead. We find ourselves where the brook is done gone dry. And God had given Elijah a word to stay by that brook, didn't he? I want to say five things tonight, and I'll go through them real quick tonight. If y'all do good, I'll try to do good. I was going to change the title of my message tonight. I will touch on it before I get into it. It's found there in verse number 12 and verse number 13. Look what the widow woman, I'll touch on it in a bit briefly in a way of introduction because maybe some of you will like it like I did. This is what God showed me. He said, I have not a cake but a handful of meal in a barrel. Verse 13 says, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but. I want to say this tonight. God can use your buts. B-U-T-S. God can use your buts. B-U-T-S. You say, what do you mean by that? You could preach a message tonight on God could use your B-U-T-S. You know why? There was a little story over in the book. You find it here. The little woman, she said, this is all I got, but. A lot of us have said that same thing. God, I'll serve you, but. God, I'll give you my child, but. God, I'll do this for you, but. And we always have that but problem. We want to be butting out when God's wanting to butt in. Remember a little story of a little lad over in John chapter number 6? He said he had five loaves and two small fishes, but the Bible said this. But what are they among so many? God wants to use your buts. B-U-T-S. You see, a lot of times we wouldn't want God to use us in the way that He's designed for us. God is always designed to use man tonight. I want to say, first of all, at the bottom of the barrel, you'll see that there was a power that sustained them. A power that sustained them. I want to say, first of all, it's about Elijah. I want to get into his life a little bit tonight. I want to say, first of all, that Elijah had a power that was overcome by obstacles. You see, this thing in serving God is never going to be easy. You see, if you think you got in this thing, you thought it was going to be tiptoeing through the tulips and you was going to be on cloud nine, a lot of times it's not. But I tell you what, there'll always be a power that will sustain thee. You know why? There'll always be obstacles. Anywhere there's an obstacle, you can find Satan. Last time I preached up here, we talked about the enemy. He comes in like a flood. And I'm going to tell you, he'll come in like a flood. And there'll always be obstacles. There'll always be Ahab. There'll always be a Jezebel. You'll find that very easy. Down at your job, there'll always be an Ahab. There'll always be a Jezebel. There'll be one down at the church house if you're not careful. When you go down to Walmart, guess what you may run into? You may run into old Ahab. You may run into old Jezebel. But guess what? There'll be a power that will sustain thee. And God will teach you how to act in those situations. And let Him show you how to act. A lot of times we go outside of what God's telling us what to do. And we get ourselves in trouble because of these obstacles. And we do what we want to do instead of what God has told us to do. The obstacles in Elijah's life. You see, he first found himself by the brook Cherith, which was dried up. And now God has told him to go do something different. I want to say, secondly, not only there was obstacles, there was obedience. You see, in verse number 9 in our text, it said this, arise. And it was up to Elijah and what he did. You see, in this power that sustains you got to be obedient to what God has told you to do. You see, a lot of times we want God to bless us, and we want God to do what we want done, but we are not obedient to what He's told us to do. You say, how do I know what He wants me to do? You'll find it in that book you got in front of you. That's what He commands us to do. That's how we are to live our life. You say, do I do what the preacher says? Yes, you ought to, as long as it lines up what the Bible says. I'm glad we got a preacher that's in the Bible tonight. Can I get an amen right there? Some of y'all look like you're tired. Some of you look like you worked hard, and some of you look like you hardly worked. And I don't know which one tonight. But Elijah found himself being obedient to the Word. You know why the power sustaining down by Brook Cherith would be the same power that was going to sustain him here down at Zarephath. There was going to be a power. You know why? Because he was obedient to what God had told him to do. I want to say this tonight. Nowhere in my Bible, in this story, did I find where Elijah prayed for those ravens to come and give him what God, give him food. Nowhere in my Bible did I find that. He said, Lord, send the ravens. Lord, send me some food. Lord, send me some water through the brook. He never, not one time, do I see where Elijah prayed for that. I do see where he prayed. He went before Ahab, and he said that it would dry up the whole earth for 3.5 years. And God granted that prayer by the hand of Elijah. But not one time do I see where Elijah actually prayed for the provisions of life. You know why? Because he did what God told him to do, and he knew God would bless his obedience. You see, if you're going to be blessed tonight, you're going to have to be obedient to what God has commanded you to do, and then God will give you the things that are out in front of you, the power that sustained him. Not only was there obstacles and there was obedience, there was also opportunity. I began to think about it a little bit. Elijah didn't dwell in his problems. He didn't say, nowhere in the Bible there did I find where he said, Lord, why did you send me here? You see, Elijah was a Tishbite, wasn't he? It'd been easy if God would have said, in chapter 17, you'll find he says, go show thyself. He also says, go hide thyself. And that's what Brother Randy taught on the other night. And I went up to him after he taught that, and I said, my problem is I go show myself when I'm supposed to be hiding, and when I'm supposed to be hiding, I'm supposed to be showing. And a lot of us, I think, have that same problem tonight. We get that stuff mixed up. You know what it does? It gets us in trouble. But Elijah saw his problem as an opportunity. I thought about those lepers, those four lepers over in 2 Kings, chapter number 7. They said this, why sit we here until we die? You see, Elijah could have done the same thing. He could have stayed down there by the Brook Cherith. And he said, why? What's the use? You see, that's where America is tonight. That's where our churches are tonight. They're lackadaisical. They say, what's the use? What are we going to do for God? What's the use of going on? What's the use of going on for another generation? You see, there's a generation downstairs that we need to stand for what's right. We need to show them what's right. We need to not let our problems overcome our opportunities. You see, we got a lost and a dying world out there. And I'm going to tell you what, we have great opportunity. Great opportunity. I look at my job. I got great opportunity at my job. You say, why? Because it's a dark world out there. I work with people that don't know Christ. And there's people that I need to show Christ in myself. And the only way they're going to do it is through opportunities. And you know, when God brings out your problems, He's bringing out the best opportunity for you to show them how to act as a Christian in your problem. Elijah said, look at my opportunity here. It was a power that sustained him. He said, I'm not going to let my problems be here, but he said, I'm going to turn my problems into opportunities. Talking about those four lepers, why sit we here until we die? You say, what happened to those boys? Those boys was down there Elijah had went down there and the host of the Syrians was going to come against them, and there was a great famine in the land. And those lepers said, we can either sit here until we die by the famine, or we can go down there to where the Syrians are, and maybe the Syrians will let us come in. They didn't know Elijah was back and had planned all this stuff out, and God had done worked some things out through the prophet Elijah, S-H-A. And do you know what those boys did? They said, we'll take our chances down there with the host of Syrians. And when they went down there, they said the Bible said there was host of chariots, host of everything coming in, and they heard the noise of them. And the old Assyrians thought that the king of Israel had hired out the king of the Hittites and the king of the Egyptians to come in. And you know what those Syrians did? They fled. You know what those four lepers did? They went in there and took all the spoil. If they would have sat back at the gate, guess what they would have done? They would have sat there till they died. A lot of times in our Christian life, I think we're sitting there till we die when we should be charging the gates. Why? Because God's got He's got things worked out in front of us that we can't see. And it's a power that will sustain thee. Not only you say it's a power that sustained him, I want to say secondly, the place where he was sent was named Zarephath. There's no... and you know what that word Zarephath means? It means a smoldering fire. It means a refiner's fire. You know what Elijah was? It was working things out of his life that only a place of Zarephath could do. And a lot of times in our life, I find myself at Zarephath, where God has got me in the fire. And I thought about those four Hebrew boys. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The three Hebrew boys, I'm sorry. And I thought about those boys as they was placed into the burning fiery furnace. And God would come in there. And Nebuchadnezzar, king of the Babylonians, he said, what did he say? He said, lo, I see four men loose walking in the fire. We know there was no harm in the boys. Let me tell you what they was doing. And the same thing was happening in Elijah's life. It was refiner's fire. It was pulling out impurities that's in him. And a lot of times we're down in Zarephath. And you can't understand why. And God has sent you there. Elijah knew that God had sent him there. And he knew that God would sustain him. He'd already sustained him by the brook Cherith, and now he's going to sustain him down in Zarephath. And God had put his hand on him, and he had him in a little fire. You know what he's doing? He's drawing out impurities in his life. Anything of pride, anything that God was not pleased with, you know what he's doing? It was slowly fleeing out of Elijah's life. You see, a lot of times we think we're winning victories over other people. But a lot of times we're winning victories over ourselves. You see, a lot of times we look at this story and we say it was a victory over Ahab and Jezebel. But let me tell you what it was. Elijah was winning the victory over himself and what he would do. Why? Because God would show him what he needed to do. We see that it was the place where he was sent. Not only that, I was reading after one man, he said this, God prepares the place. It's up to us to prepare ourselves for the place. You see, God prepares the place. It's up to ourselves to prepare us for the place where God puts us. You see, a lot of times we find ourselves struggling in life because we didn't prepare ourselves for the place. When I was in school, I never liked homework. Can I get a witness right there? I wish some of these kids was up here. They love this part. I'd say, I didn't like any homework they sent me home with. I remember we had a thing in school called homeroom. And homeroom was my place where I did my homework. I was one of those guys that worked well under pressure. So give me 30 minutes, I'll have this stuff worked out. You know, if I've done it at home, it'd take me about 10 hours. But you give me about a homeroom period, I have it done. I didn't like that. But you know what? I didn't prepare myself. When I did that, when they gave me a test, I may have knew what it was for that test, but if you'd asked me the day after the test, guess what? I probably couldn't have told you anything about the test. You know why? Because I wasn't preparing myself. I was doing everything the quickest way. You see, in our Christian walk, we want to do things quicker than what God wants us to do. And a lot of times we'll get ourselves in trouble. The place where He was sent. God prepares the place. It's up to us to prepare ourselves for the place that God puts us at. The place where He was sent. Not only the place where He was sent, I want to say the plan that was shown. Look down in verse number 10. The Bible says this. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks, and he called her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand. I want to say this tonight. There was a plan that was shown. You see, Elijah didn't operate off blind faith, said, I think I'll just go. He waited for God to send him a word. And when God sent him a word, he went to the place. And as he went to the place where God had sent him, God showed him the plan. He had already told Elijah that there'd be a widow woman there waiting on him. You see, that widow woman didn't know that Elijah was even around. And the whole time, that lady's up there gathering sticks. Here comes old Elijah to the gate of the city, and he sees that lady. And no doubt in his mind, the Spirit of God come on him and said, there's that lady. The providence of God. The plan that was shown. I want to say, first of all, the plan that God gives us is always going to be convincing. You say, why do you say that? You think about the story here. Elijah was down by the brook Cherith. It didn't take much convincing him when that brook dried up that he'd move on, did it? And I find that in my own life. When I look back on my life that God has placed me through and the walk that He's placed me through, it was a convincing plan that He gave me. You know why? Because it was only going to work if I went His way. Not only that, was it convincing, it was commanded. He said, "Arise, get thee to Zarephath," in verse number 9. Not only was it commanded, I want to say it was confirmed. In verse number 10, he found that widow woman, didn't he? And that little lady gathering all those sticks. He said, "Lord, you've shown me the plan. Go there and find that lady." And she fetched him some water. Not only that, I want to say it's a continuing plan. And I wrote this down. God doesn't show us all at the beginning, but gives us light along the way. A lot of times we want to see the whole plan. God, what would you have me to do? What's the plan for my life? Show me the plan and then I'll go. But I found out in serving God that He don't always show you all the plan. He just gives you light along the way to the plan. And then once you get past it, you look back and say, "Lord, now I see your plan." I remember when I got saved. And I didn't know why, didn't know how. I remember I've told this story before, but I'll tell it again tonight. I remember how I got saved. I remember the night at Piggly Wiggly when the police officer come and picked me up at the door and said, "We need to go to the hospital." And they took me down to the hospital in the police car. They said, "Your brother's been in an accident." And then the doctors come in there and said that we've done all we can do. And I remember that as if it were yesterday. And I didn't see the plan then. I remember my brother preaching to me. And I remember that was April the 6th, 1998. I remember going to the funeral on April the 8th, 1998. I've never been in a funeral where they gave an altar call. You know, they didn't make you get up. But they gave if you want to get saved, you could. I remember the Holy Ghost dealing with me for a month at a time. For a man asking me at Walmart, he said, "If you were to die right now, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven?" And I was there with one of my friends. And my friend said, he said, "I don't know if I go." And he thought I was saved because my brother's a preacher. And I grew up around the church, but I wasn't saved. And I remember going to bed at night with that man asking me that question. It's just like he'd laid his finger out on me. And every night when I go to bed at night, he'd lay that finger out on me and said, "Where would you go? Where would you go?" I remember them giving that in that funeral, and I asked the Lord to save me right there. And He's been with me ever since, talking about the plan. See, if He'd asked me what the plan was, I wouldn't have told you what the plan was. I remember some 14 years later, there was a young boy named Blayton Mangrum. Because God has showed me a plan. I had to look back on it. He come down in the chapel service there at his school and asked God to save him 14 years later. That same month, I'd asked the Lord. The Lord had been working on me since 2009 to go preach. Didn't know the plan. 3 years later, I surrendered the call to preach. You say, "What are you saying?" I'm saying God's got a plan for each one of us tonight. Some of you, God showed you the plan. I wonder if you have done what God has told you to do. And you look back on it and say, only God can orchestrate a plan like that. He did that for Elijah. He showed him the plan. It was a plan that was continuing all his life. And he looked back on that plan. I remember Elijah in 1 Kings chapter number 19. No doubt when he's up underneath that juniper tree and he's asking the Lord to take his life. He probably looked back and he said, 2 chapters later, he said, "I remember the plan God showed me." He remembered that when I was down by Brook Cherith, there was a power that sustained him. When he was down by Zarephath, guess what? There was a power there that sustained him. Talking about the plan. And I want to say this tonight, each one of you in this building tonight, God has got a plan for you. It was a plan that was shown. Then fourthly, I want to say this. You'll see there was a provision that was supplied. God's plans always come with God's provisions. You see, if you'll follow His plan, He'll always provide for it. I kind of touched on that earlier tonight. I don't see anywhere where Elijah prayed for any sustenance. I don't see where the only prayer I see Elijah pray in this whole chapter was to dry up the face of the earth for 3.5 years. That's it. The rest of the stuff he knew God was going to take care of him. Why? Because he was doing what God had told him to do. And I remember the verses over in Matthew chapter number 6 tonight. If you want to turn there, Matthew chapter number 6, verse number 25. Matthew 6:25 says this. said, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is the not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? He said, consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, and they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye a little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed. For all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. And here it is. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I want to say this. God's plan always has God's provisions. You see, it was a provision that was supplied. I think about that old little widow woman. Old Elijah showed up at her house. He said, I tell you what, go get me some water. And they said, nah, on top of getting that water, go ahead and get me a little cake. And that, I can see that little widow woman. She said, he must not saw my little barrel back here. He must not saw my barrel that's on empty. You see, I'm out here gathering these figs so we can die. This is our last meal. That's what she thought. That's what the Bible said she thought. She said, I'm out here gathering these two sticks that I may dress it, and that we may eat and may die. Not only was she going to die, her son was going to die. Provision that was supplied. Old Elijah said, I tell you what, first of all, you go get it from me first. You know what he's doing? He's testing her faith. You see, this lady was a Phoenician woman. This lady served the same gods as Jezebel did. She knew all about the worship of Baal. She knew all that. She didn't know much about the God of Elijah. And Elijah was testing her faith. Would she actually do what she told him to do? Because she knew that her barrel was on empty. And I can see that little widow woman as she went in there and she looked in that little barrel and she got it out. She said, well, I have a little meal here. I ain't got a cake, but I got a little meal. And a little cruise of oil. I got a little bit of oil. And each time she made that and she gave it to Elijah and sustained him. And she made one for her son. And I thought about this. As the Bible says, each day she went back for more. And the next day she went back for more. Talking about a provision that was supplied. The next day she went back for even more. And then she said, Lord, my barrel's been right there for a long time. But guess what? Every time I reach in there, guess what? There's still some more in there. And I reach in there again the next day, and there's some more. And the next day, some more. And the Bible said for many days. Most theologians said that was over a year's worth of supply. The lady thought it was her last her last drop. I'm talking about being at the bottom of the barrel. There's been times in my life that I thought, Lord, we ain't got enough money to make it through this month. And I'd reach in there, and there'd be a little more. And I'd try to do the math. How many of you got a budget tonight? I remember when I first got saved and first got married, I was trying to do that budget thing. I said, Lord, I don't know if we're going to have enough money to make it through the end of the month. But I tell you what he did. Every time I reached in that little barrel, there'd be enough in there to pay that bill. And I reach in there again, and there'd be enough to pay that little bill and enough to get us through the little provisions of life. You say, did you have all you wanted? No. But I tell you what, I had all I needed. And that's what the problem with America is. They want all they want. They don't want all they need. A provision that was supplied. Every time that little widow woman reached back in there, there was just a little bit more. I want to say there was provision for the famished. You see, they was all hungry. And God would give them what they needed. I want to say tonight, America's famished from the Word of God. There is a famine in the land. It's not so much of food, but it's of the Word of the Lord. You say, why? Because they're not hungry. A couple of years back, I'll tell you a funny story and then I'll be closing down. A couple of years back, I learned how to turkey hunt. I thought I did anyway. I may not have learned it yet. I don't know. But I practiced those calls. I bought me one of those things out there at the Walmart that had the CD in it, had three calls in it, mouth calls. And I said, and I practice every day. I said, Lord, I'm going to get me one of them turkeys. So I drive down. I had an hour to work and an hour home from work, and I listened to that CD, and I practice on them calls. Lo and behold, I went out in the woods, me and my son, and I hit that call, and I heard one of them turkeys respond back to me. I said, this thing may work out. So I began calling. And finally, that turkey came on there, and I shot him. And I walked him back up, got him in my truck, took him back home, and I laid him down right there in front of the barn. I began to pluck them feathers off that turkey, talking about not being hungry. I plucked all them feathers off that turkey. My wife walked by. She saw me out there on top of that turkey pulling them feathers off. She said, we ain't going to eat that turkey. Some of the finest meat you ever seen off a turkey. Got sliced them breasts off that turkey. Better than the Piggly Wiggly. Better than the Publix. Better than the Kroger. No artificial flavors. No preservatives. Nothing in that thing. But she said, we ain't going to eat that turkey. You say, what do you say? I said all that to say this. If she was hungry, she'd eat that turkey. That's where we find ourselves tonight. We're not hungry enough for the things of God. America finds himself not hungry enough for the things of God. If they were, they'd eat the words of the Lord. They would be important to them. They'd be valuable to them. They'd be as treasures within thine heart and binded up inside their life into everlasting life. Talking about a provision that was supplied. And I'll close with this. You'll see lastly there was a purpose that was seen. In verse number 15 says this, and she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days, and the barrel meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. There's always a purpose in what God is telling us to do. You see, Elijah found himself at the bottom of the barrel. He found out two things, and I'll close very quickly. There's a purpose that was seen. He found, first of all, God was mindful. I read it in Matthew chapter number 6. God knew what provisions he'd need before he even went down there. I want to say this to the child of God tonight. The psalmist David said in the book of Psalms chapter 37, he said, I've been young and I've been old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. I'm here tonight to tell you that God will supply your provision as long as you're doing God's plan. Not only that, God is mindful. I want to say this, God is merciful. If you read on down through that story, you'll know that the little widow woman's son became sick and he died and he passed away. And that widow woman come after Elijah and said, what did you do? Come here to remember my sin? Bring my sin into remembrance? And Elijah said, bring me to the child. And he went upon him three times. And he restored that boy back to life. You say, why? Because God is merciful. None of us would be here tonight if it wasn't for God's mercy. You see, if I got what I deserved, I'd be in hell tonight. There's no way I'd be called a preacher. No way I'd be saved. There's no way I'd be around you good people tonight. I'd be in hell with my back broke. But I want to say God is merciful. A purpose that was seen. And any time God has put you through something, guess what? It's showing people around you who your God is. And Elijah was all the time saying, here's who my God is. He wasn't saying, this is who I am, but this is who my God is. At the bottom of the barrel. You see, at the bottom of the barrel, you'll find a power that sustains thee. You'll find a plan that was shown. You'll see a provision that was supplied. And you'll also see a purpose that was seen. I thank you for your attention tonight. Mike.